sing it something like this. Listen here.
Oh, beauty by spacious skies, far amber waves of grain, far purple mountain majesties.
Now wait a minute, I'm talking about America, sweet America. You know, God done shed his grace on thee. He crowned thy good. Yes, he did. Heavy brotherhood. Say this.
America,
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 I love you, America. You see, my God, he done shed his face on thee. You ought to love him for it, cause he crowned my good. He told me he would.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group, and we speak truth to power by engaging, connecting, empowering, and transforming the lives of veterans, active and retired, along with their family members through information, resources, and referrals. We are proudly sponsored by Attorney Steve Seidman of Seidman, Margolis, and Fairman, LLP, at 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. Toll-free number is 888-837-3275. The office is 312-781-1977. We are pleased. I am the host, of course, today, March 16th, 2019. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith, and our digital media producer, Manny Corazzari. We are pleased to have him. And we are going to be covering some good topics today, and we just want you to be here with us. We have on our live line our guest. The panelist is a veteran Marine Corps, Corporal Claude Fields III, who served at 22 Area Camp Pendleton. MOS 3051 Supply, 8151 Guard, 2211 Armorer. And we are pleased to have him on, not only because he's a relative of a very good friend of ours, as you probably know, but also he's had some problems that we certainly want to address. It has to do with inadequate veteran housing. And, you know, that's the things we do. We have great people from the VA and others to come by and try to help us with these problems. But first, let us welcome him to Corporal. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you today?
Good, good. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay, our pleasure. And we thank you for coming. This is the only way we find out, and that's why we have this show. Corporal, is because of the facts that, you know, you shouldn't be having the problems that you are. Tell us about what is going on.
Okay, so I was homeless for a good while, starting in September 2018, last year. I was evicted from one of the apartment units that I was staying in, which has to do with housing and housing authority. Now, normally what's supposed to happen is the landlord, if there's a mispayment or if there's something wrong, or, you know, they usually contact housing authority first to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. My payments were up to date, you know, I don't have a problem with, you know, paying my bills on time. I have good credit and all that. Housing Authority did not pay their portion of rent that they were supposed to pay to the landlord, which in turn wind up having the landlord or the property manager basically try to come after me. The whole thing became a law issue. They wanted to go to court, so we went to court. And technically, by law, for anyone that's a federal employee, which is, I mean, veteran such as myself, anyone that's a federal employee, you don't go to state court. You're supposed to go to federal court.
Yeah.
Well, they took it to state court, which later on I found out they were not supposed to do. It should have been settled in the federal court. Anyway. So I went to court and everything, and then one of the representative lawyers for the landlord or the management company basically wanted to cut a deal and say, hey, well, we see that you did pay your rent. So I was like, that's the whole thing. So why am I even being put out? I paid my portion. So because housing missed their portion of paying rent, why am I being, you know, why am I being evicted, and why is this even happening? So wind up cutting a deal, wind up still moving out, which that shouldn't have happened either. I wind up in a transitional home, and from there, you know, I let my father know what was happening with me and my situation. So, you know, he said, okay, I'm going to try and make some phone calls, you know, try and see what we can do. So I stayed in the transitional home from October 2018. Excuse me, all the way till February, which is when I just got my apartment, which was last month on the 14th. So, yeah, it was ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Let me, Corporal, you are a veteran on duty, right?
Well, I'm not on duty, but these services are still provided for.
Well, they are, yeah, okay. Tell me what your position is now relative to. Are you on active duty or not?
I'm not.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
I've served my time, but again, like you said, that's irrelevant.
Oh, sure, it's irrelevant. You still as a veteran. Yeah, you're a veteran. So, and you paid your portion, and the government didn't pay theirs.
Exactly. So,
and you were in a transitional home from October of last year to February of this year.
That's correct.
Tell us what this transitional home is, if you will, please.
Sure. So the transitional home is basically for veterans that are homeless or they're basically in between places, you know, trying to get back on their feet and get housed again.
But you shouldn't have been homeless.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
Yeah, they created your homelessness.
Exactly. And then what I also found out, a couple of the other veterans that were at this transitional home that I was at, some of the same exact things happened to me. So then I started to realize, okay, wait a minute now. This isn't just no coincidence. You know, this happened to other veterans that I was there with. You know, they told me how, you know, their situation was a little different. They got pushed out because one guy, the landlord and the maintenance company were basically renovating, I guess, the apartment below him because he stayed on the second floor. And they basically told him he had to leave. He had to go. He couldn't stay there anymore. So it's like, okay, you guys didn't try and, like, help him or give him any type of, like, hotel voucher or anything like that. Now, mind you, these are all veterans that are under housing authority, again, low income, and, you know, you're just getting on your feet and trying to, you know, secure employment and everything
right,
of that
right,
nature.
Right, 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 I got you. Tell me the conditions of where you were living.
The condition of where I was living?
The conditions, you know, what I want to know, yeah, right. What was it like?
Are you speaking of the transitional home or what?
Yeah, the transitional home, right,
So the transitional home, very nice house, out in Eastvale, California. Very big house. I mean, this neighborhood is very nice. They treated us pretty well for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think I've seen a few little shady things in between there as well, though. A lot of these nonprofit organizations get funding to keep, you know, veterans in, you know, in the transitional home for however long until they, you know, find something. But it felt more like they were trying to hurry up and push us out again. Hurry up and get your house. Hurry up and get your apartment. Which was, and the sad thing is because we're divided into two counties out here in California, Riverside County and San Bernardino County. So for those that live out here know exactly what the struggle is, because it's hard to find anything in either of those counties when you have urban neighborhoods that are really bad and gang violence, prostitution, drug rings, you name it, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the amount that the government or housing authority issues, because they issue a payment, a voucher is what they call it, to each veteran for however many dollars, and they break it down into different regions, you're only allotted so much money that they are going to pay for your housing per month.
Okay.
So say, for example, you move to San Bernardino, the voucher for that is only $986. Now, apartments in California are not cheap, as a lot of people know.
Sure.
That live in this
mm-hmm.
area.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, you're looking at anything that's at least $1,000, $1,100 or more for something decent. But because the funding that they give out to these veterans are so below average, it's hard to find decent mm-hmm. housing placement when, number two, you can try and negotiate with the landlord. If they decide they'll work with it, okay, well, you're only getting this amount, so, okay, we'll work with the 986 or the 950 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have landlords, they're not willing to take that cut,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that $200 cut. So it makes it that much more impossible and a little less easier to locate housing because of those type of situations. You understand what I'm saying?
Wow. That is something. By the way, our number, I want to let people know, 312-374-8130. If you want to make a comment, we'd be happy to hear from you. Our number again, the WVON call-in number is 312-374-8130. So
okay.
First, you got a situation which shouldn't have been in the state courts anyway, and you paid your amount, Claude.
Right.
Notwithstanding that's two things that...
Right, but what they did, let me explain a little bit more. What they
sure.
did was they did a wrongful eviction, which means... They put a note on my door saying that I owed a certain amount and that I was behind, which I was not behind. I had receipts and everything to prove that my, you know, my portion was paid up.
Mm-hmm.
But they put it on my door saying that you have this loan to pay this amount. I'm like, what is this? Where is this even coming from? And then, again, the guy that served me papers, hey, well, you have this loan. You have 5 days to respond. Otherwise, they consider that you're guilty because you don't make any response. So then I had to do that. And then between that, all of the stress of me, I was going to school at the time. Now, mind you, I was getting ready to get my bachelor's degree. I had a few months away before I graduate. So them putting all of this due stress on me, telling me that I had to pay this amount, which I didn't owe in the first place to begin with, almost making me fail my classes, because this was a week, this was our final exam where we had to, like, study for, you know, our tests and everything.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I had to drop what I was doing, go to the courts. I've never been to court for anything. I've never been in trouble with the law.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because I wouldn't have been in the military if that was the case.
Right.
It won't
affect right.
you. I've never been in trouble with the law for anything. I had to go to court, drop what I was doing, stop my studies and my homework in class, just so I can go to court to find out what's going on, and then to turn around to find out later on it's not even the right court that they even submitted to, a state court, which should have been federal. That's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, then pushing me out wrongfully and illegally, because of the wrongful eviction. And then on top of that, I didn't even get the money back that I paid because they said that I owed.
Wow.
Yes.
So tell us what finally happened here, Claude.
So after I basically...
And let me, pardon me for interrupting you, but putting a notice on the door also lets your neighbors know that you're a deadbeat, right?
I mean, I don't know if I would go as far as to say that, but it's
well, I'm not sure of the situation, but I do know I've seen situations like that here, where you know it's in an apartment building and they put the notice on the door, this, that, and the other. I didn't know what the circumstances were where you were, whether your neighbors could see it or not.
I mean, well, yeah,
it could be embarrassing. That's all I'm saying.
The neighbors are like right next door, so their door is like not even a few feet away from mine. So,
yeah.
You know, when you're in that apartment complex, people can see if there's like a note or something
on
your door.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's true. Anyway, I interrupted you. Go right ahead. What happened after that?
So basically, like I said, I wind up being in a transitional home because I didn't have anywhere to go, homeless.
Wow.
The VA and like the social workers, they gave me a voucher. And then this is the part that really, really got me. My HUD, well, not my HUD, but my housing authority caseworker, she knew about the situation. I told her about the situation. She didn't even try and help or do anything. They didn't respond to any of the emails. You know, they answered their call. They answered what calls they want to answer. She knew I was going to court. I told her I was going to court. She didn't do anything to say anything or stop it. And then she acted like she didn't know what was going on. Well, why are they sending you this? Because you guys didn't pay the portion of the rent. That's why.
Now, this was from this was a VA worker?
No, this was a housing authority.
Okay, housing authority.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is housing authority now that we're talking about.
Okay.
Because housing authority pays a portion for the veteran.
We're talking about HUD.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then the veteran pays whatever portion that he can afford.
Yeah, right.
You know,
okay.
Gets on his feet.
Yeah.
So because they didn't pay their portion, they let the landlord basically send those notes on my door and let me get evicted.
Now, we have Ben Carson, who is the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. I don't know why he's there, because he's an excellent physician, as you probably know. Ben Carson, African-American physician who, has done just great work as a doctor. Do you know, I'm sure you've been doing a lot of things, they have taken a step toward tougher health and safety inspections of taxpayer-subsidized housing. And the most recent reports of substandard living conditions at the properties.
Now, it's funny that you mentioned that because where I'm at now, when I just got my housing, matter of fact, there was an article that I sent you guys. I don't know if you read it or got it.
Mm-hmm.
Where basically, like, landlords are trying to cheat housing out of money by doing minimal work on an apartment when they give it to a veteran or to a person that, you know, is not a regular standard income.
Mm-hmm,
now,
mm-hmm.
Moving to this place, I mean, it looked like, I'm not even kidding, it looked like an 8-year-old painted my bedroom.
Oh, wow.
Just sloppy maintenance work. The sink is still stopped up. They still haven't come to fix that. When I moved in, the air conditioning and the heating unit was not working. It was freezing there the first night that I moved in February. I'm like, hey, can you guys come and take care of this like ASAP? You know, because we all know the landlord tenant laws. That's illegal.
Sure.
For you not to have a proper heating unit working.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Boy,
like that's ridiculous.
Where are we now, Claude?
I'm sorry.
Where are we now with your situation?
Well, like I said, they tell me to put in a maintenance request. I still have somebody supposed to actually call me back yesterday to fix my stopped up sink. I still haven't heard anything back from maintenance.
Jesus. My goodness.
It's literally been weeks.
What do you think? Is HUD doing what it ought to be doing? Help us.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I really honestly believe that whoever did the inspection going walking through, because you know they're supposed to be responsible to make sure things are working and this and that nature, I don't think they did a very thorough job. Because if I was an inspector and I walked through, it would have failed. It would have not passed at all.
So you are waiting now.
That are broken. Mm-hmm. You know, the air conditioner and heating unit isn't working. The carpet was filthy before I moved in. I had to get them to clean the carpet. Now by law, you're supposed to clean the carpet or you're supposed to replace it within 5 years.
And under Secretary Carson, according to what we've been seeing, more families live in HUD housing that falls, that doesn't really, it fails health and safety inspections, Claude.
Yeah.
So you, based on your experience, you would agree with that?
Yes.
All right, so help us. What's going to happen with you? What are you waiting for?
Well, again, I've been putting in my maintenance request, and I've recorded my maintenance request because they have something online where you put in, you know, the things that are wrong, and then they're supposed to have their maintenance crew or team come out and fix it. Now, I told the owner what was going on, and they're just like, oh, be patient. I said, be patient? Do you know I've signed the lease on the 14th of last month? It's been over a month. You should have already had this stuff fixed. Should have already been fixed before I even moved in. There is no be patient.
You've been patient. Absolutely.
I've been over patient.
Yes, you have. You certainly have been. Claude, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on America's Heroes Group. You know, I'm happy with your relative. Obviously, he's with us, Claude Fields, the second senior. You're Claude Fields, the third. We wish you well. We're going to keep up with you and make sure that things work out, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And listen, we thank you for taking the time, and things will be. We're just glad you're hanging in there. You're doing a great. You've done a great job. All right, and we'll help you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you so much. That's a gentleman who is going through some things that definitely he does not need to be going through, and that's what we try to do here at America's Heroes Group. Absolutely. Stay with us. We'll be back.
March is Women's History Month, and the Talk of Chicago is celebrating all month long. We're WVON proud.
America.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, WVON host and honored veteran, inviting you to listen every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. as I host America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power regarding the treatment of veterans, retired and active, discussing concerns for affordable housing, social services, Medicare, and all services geared toward veterans. America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power. Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, Law.net.
I'm Sally, a volunteer at United Way. I'm asking people around the neighborhood what they think this place needs. Excuse me, hi. What do you think this place needs?
I'd like to see more parking.
More playgrounds.
Free movies.
That's easy. Better restaurants.
And you, what do you think this place needs?
This place? More ice cream trucks.
Okay. How about you?
Wi-Fi everywhere?
I was thinking more money in the pockets of local families come tax time.
Can I change my answer?
I was just kidding about the ice cream.
Oh, that's way better.
Now that you mention it.
When it comes to getting better tax refunds into the hands of local families, what this place needs is you.
To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org.
Because great things happen when we live united. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
afternoon. Good afternoon. This is WVON 1690. We are on iHeartRadio. All you need to do is download the app to your smartphone or tablet and take us wherever you are, wherever you're going. You can go to WVON.com and you can call us direct. Our call in number is 312-374-8130. 312-374-8130. And we are pleased to continue America's Heroes Group, Truth to Power, and where we help, of course, people who are veterans and doing a great job. I'm the host, Cliff Kelly. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith. Our digital media producer is Manny Corazzari. And we are pleased to have in our studio a gentleman who is a Navy veteran, third class petty officer, Ken Porter, who is a logistics specialist. And first, let me thank him for being here. He's in the studio with us. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. We are going to be talking about factors, and this is so important. We just had some young people stick their heads in the studio here and said, we're going to be after you. Factors that motivate young people to join the military and lack of support navigating a career in the reserves. Now, Ken, our guest here is a program director at MCFA Challenge, where they believe that democracy is a verb. At MCFA, well, I'm going to let him tell us this. I know about MCFA Challenge.
You know, perfect.
I know about it. It's just a great thing, the whole MCFA Challenge. But first, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then talk about MCFA.
Yeah, so born and raised here in Chicago on the South Side. I've been in the Navy for 8 years. I'm actually coming up on the end of my contract on April 4th, so less than 30 days out from separation. Joined when I was 18, so I'm only 26 right now, so I'm still pretty young. But yeah, it's a little bit about me. The organization I work for, MCFA Challenge, is an organization that I've been involved with ever since I was in high school. What we do is we work with young people to get them involved authentically in civic engagement and civic action. You know, I think that's a word a lot of people throw around, getting involved in your community, but we give people, students, like real opportunities. So so that means when you're in an election cycle like now, we take students campaigning for different candidates, running for office, all the different candidates. And when we're not in an election cycle, help students and teachers execute action projects in their schools. So, you know, if they don't like the lunchroom food or if they want to go to Washington, D.C. to lobby legislators, we do, you know, projects big and small and everything in between. So, you know, like I said, I did this program when I was in high school and, you know, a path through the military and other jobs and ended up back at the organization.
Which high school did you go to?
Went to Morgan Park High School.
Okay.
Far South Side.
Yeah. Far South Side. That's fine. This is great. A lot of people don't know about who it was, Abner MCFA.
Yes, that was our founder, Abner MCFA.
Yeah, right.
Abner and Zoe MCFA.
Right. Mm-hmm. Great congressman.
Circuit Court judge,
right.
White House counsel for
right.
President Clinton.
Yep.
He did it all.
He did it all. Mm-hmm. Second Congressional District, I remember him.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So this is just great. Now tell me, you've been in the Navy for 8 years.
Yes, eight years.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen coming up?
April 4th, that's the termination date for my contract, which is funny because that was 18 when I was joining it. 8 years seemed like forever at the time. But yeah.
You joined for 8 years.
I joined, yeah. I signed an 8-year contract. Yeah, when I was 18.
Yeah. And I didn't even know. I'm a veteran too, obviously, but I didn't know you could join. That was a 10-year. When you signed up, it was for 10 years?
It was an 8-year contract.
Oh, 8-year contract. Yeah,
right,
I got
right.
You. Okay.
So it was, I've took a very non-traditional route. This was, I joined straight into the reserve instead of active duty, but I did serve several mobilizations after joining the reserve.
Mm-hmm.
This was the grand bargain I had with my mother, who I don't have anybody military in my family. So I told her, you know, I've joined straight into the reserve instead of active duty. The Navy's overmanned. I'll never be mobilized. And then I was mobilized immediately because that's the way it goes. But, you know, she quickly saw that there was definitely many benefits that that I gained from, joining
Certainly.
The military. So,
how did you happen to do that since you had no military family members?
Yeah, so
what caused you?
You know, that's, I think... you know, I always kind of had this, or not always, but I always had some like commitment to service. But when I was, 18, there's multiple ways of serving your community in this country. And, mm-hmm. At 18, I think one of the ways that stood out the most was, through military service. Mm-hmm. Very much looked up to people who, took that sacrifice and joined the military to, serve the country. I think over time I realized that, particularly since I wasn't a reserve, I had, flexibility to serve in other ways as well. So, right. Hence the work I do at MGVA now. But I think that was the initial endpoint for me was, I wanted to serve in some way, and this seemed like a fantastic way to do it.
I think that is just great. Our number is 312-374-8130. We have a caller. Marguerite, are you with us? Hello? Marguerite, I think she's on my screen. Is she still on with us? We're hoping, we want to take a call if she's going to hold. Okay. In the meantime, let's continue with Ken. What kind of response are you getting now when you talk? Because you're talking to all these young people, which is a great thing. Mm-hmm. And particularly now with everything going with our commander-in-chief, who certainly brings out a lot of comments. We won't talk about what kind. Then since you're here and everything is going on with an election, mm-hmm. and through the MGVA Challenge, you're probably getting a whole lot of interest.
Yeah, surprise, surprise, there's been a big demand for civic engagement, civic education mm-hmm. since 2016, I think. And you've seen this in, elections since 2016 as well. I think people have woken up and have realized that that they need to be more engaged and, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. voters need to be more educated. And where does that start? That starts in our schools. Not going to lie, I was a reluctant participant of the MGVA Challenge when I was in high school. I had a civics teacher who kind of twisted my arm and got me to do a few things.
Right.
Yeah. And she's kind of picked up the mantle of MGVA Challenge up in Detroit now. She's a big ambassador of our work. But, I wasn't really even into it when I was in high school, but, it definitely had the effects that kind of carried on. When it came time, when I was navigating the military and college and I saw things that, I didn't like or I didn't think were right, mm-hmm. I had the tools to know what to do, right? Mm-hmm. Who to harass to get what I wanted.
Exactly. And that's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely, one of our programs we do, Project Soapbox, we give students a platform to talk to. Mm-hmm. City leaders sure. about issues they care about. Right. It's almost doubled in over the last 3 years just because it's a lot of interest.
I think Marguerite is back. We dropped her before. Marguerite, are you there?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I'm sorry I hung up because I called earlier to address the veteran.
Oh, I'm sorry, and I missed that call. Problem. Okay, well, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
That's okay. I'd like to still speak with the young man and congratulate him on his service. You also, happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Thank you, Marguerite. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. And I somewhat knew Abner, Mr. MGVA, because I attended Harvard St. George. At that time, I went to the elementary school, but also had a high school, and he was a big contributor to that school, located at 47th and Ellis.
Right.
Young man, you're a Mustang?
Yeah, Morgan Park Mustangs, that's right.
That's one of the 300 schools that I substitute taught in. So you might be one of my students. You say you've been out of high school about, 8-10 years now?
I graduated 2010.
Okay, yeah, so I probably saw you in the hallways if I didn't have you in class.
Yeah, I was I was 7 through 12 there, so 04 to 2010, yeah.
Okay, and my oldest is 37. He was there for the 7th through 12th grade program also, but he graduated in 2000, so you were there
a little bit
after
later than
him. Mm-hmm. Andre Zachary, you may have known him or heard of him, but I may have had you too in class, so Welcome, Mustang, and thank you for your service. And, Mr. Kelly, is there a way I could speak to you to address the young man, some suggestions for him off the air?
Yes, there is. See if you can get a number, if you can leave a number.
Okay, I will. Intake person. Okay, and thank you.
With our producer there. That'll be great.
Okay. And thank you all for what you all do in your service to the country, and happy birthday.
Thank you again, Marjorie. Appreciate it. That's great. We have such great callers. Again, our number is 312-374-8130. How are our young people, because they're really getting through what you're doing, there's a lot of people that don't have really the idea of the service that the military provides. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of, and, you know, I think I certainly went through that in my term, you know, doing, well, you know, we win a war that a lot of, you know about that. Yeah, I don't even want to talk about that at the moment. But how are young people through, because they're getting better information through the MCFA Challenge, and people such as yourself, what's the response? How are people joining? We always want to include it, or I should say, get greater enlistment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that helps tremendously.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's you know, we work with young people. So naturally, many of them, juniors and seniors in high school, are navigating, you know, what's next for them. And since I work with that crowd regularly, you know, I do have students who come up to me who are, you know, considering joining the military and, you know, want to know about my experience because, you know, they see me and they're like, oh, okay, he turned out all right. So, you know, this must be an all right thing to do. So it's, you know, it's many of them are joining under similar circumstances as me. I was a terrible high school student. I had a 0.6 GPA, which I pulled up to a 2.1, but I had, you know, this wasn't a lot of money for me to go to school, and I was thinking about being an officer in the military after graduating anyway, so, you know, I just went ahead and did it, went ahead and joined up, and, you know, the thing that you see, though, is the military recruits heavily from, you know, black and brown communities, you know, not only in Chicago, but across the country.
Sure.
You know, for a variety of reasons. And, you know, there's definitely some good, but, you know, there's definitely just a lot of misinformation and not a lot of support, right? So, you know, I'm really happy that I'm able to kind of be there to kind of fill in the gaps between, you know, what they see on the military websites and, you know, and the kind of fill in some more truth to some of the things that the recruiters are telling
them. Yeah, misinformation, you're absolutely right on that.
Yeah, it's not necessarily that recruiters lie. It's, you know, I know for me, you know, I couldn't swim when I was going in. And, you know, they were like, oh, there's former Navy SEALs and Olympians who are going to be there to help you. But, you know, what that meant was there was a guy standing on the edge of the pool with a 20-foot pole, you know, telling me not to drown. So, yes, he was a SEAL, but it didn't mean that he was in there instructing me,
exactly.
Though, right?
I
so, yeah, so yeah. Filling in some of those blanks for,
right,
the, for
right,
the young
right.
people.
That's and, of course, I'm not sure this is even true, because I wasn't drafted. I was an enlistee, but I was told that for them, you know, it was certainly better to be in some place like New York, Chicago, or whatever, trying to get people to enlist than being in Vietnam. But whether this was true or not, it didn't matter, that you had to get so many enlistments if you wanted to stay in that position.
Right.
Yeah.
They always say, their famous line is, you know, I don't get paid any more or less whether you join or not, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, you all still have, you know, numbers that you're trying to hit.
That's right.
So,
yeah, that you better hit.
Right. Yeah. If you don't want Chief chewing you out later, you're going to be trying to get those numbers.
Now, the thing you're doing, Ken Porter, is just great with the MCFA Challenge because you have trained students on how to campaign for candidates running for office. You've organized large-scale campaign opportunities from city council races to presidential races. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's, you know, like I said, I'm a big believer in the program. I came through it myself, and it's one of those things where we don't tell them, you know, this candidate, you know, you should like this candidate for X reason. We
sure,
take them campaigning.
That, right.
Right. We just, we expose them to the different candidates and have them make the decision for themselves. Right. And, you know, there's definitely candidates, you know, young people can see through, you know, lies and deceit very easily. So, you know, it's taking them there and seeing how it's run. Once you get involved at that age, you'll be a lifelong participant. That's just that's just the way it is. You'll vote every time. You'll be involved in your community.
That's true.
And yeah, that's why we do it.
Once you start that, once you get them involved, they're going to continue it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's great. And we have some. I'm sure you're getting a whole lot of interest in this election coming up, which is going to be historic.
Yeah. We're The city election has been historic, but then also the presidential election as well has been historic. And we get involved in every single election, you know. So right now the city one is a big deal where we have a runoff in many wards and you know, on the mayoral level as well. So on weekends we take students door knocking and we go to individual schools. And one thing we do is, you know, we don't, you know, wait for the students to find us. You know, we go and find them because, you know, there was me at these schools, right? The kid who, you know, wasn't necessarily interested, but, you know, the civics teacher poked me enough and I got interested, right? So we do our best to go to, you know, the schools and, you know, and not just, you know, selective enrollments. We work with them too, but we definitely try and go to schools where students aren't having their voices heard and give them, you know, a platform to talk to city leaders and talk to campaigns and hold them accountable.
Do you, are you, is that a 501c3 or not?
Yes, it is a
C3. So you can't push a candidate?
No.
Right.
No.
I figured, you know, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah. Which, I mean, which is the way to go.
Oh, sure, you know, it is.
Right?
Sure,
you,
it is. Just
they need to make
get
the
all
decision
the information
for themselves.
Out on all candidates. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And then you let the individuals, how do they decide, for instance, to go out and campaign? Do you have, do they make the decision as who they're going to campaign for?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, being in a very democratic city and taking students to, you know, non-democratic candidates, you know, we always try and just tell the students that, look, you need to, you know, give it a try, you know, see what they have going on in this operation. And, you know, if there's a student that's, you know, just super opposed to a candidate, we're not going to make them go out there. But, you know, if you tell students to have an open mind to, and to, you know, see what the other side has going on, you know, we almost have no issues. Students will go try it out. And you know, what they find more times than not is that, you know, there are regular humans on that other side who are, you know, very nice and caring and who are just, you know, fighting for something that they believe in. And it's just a humanizing experience. For them, which I think is so important at that age to, you know, not you know, get rooted in some, you know, these we're over here and those folks are over there. But they realize that we're all just folks, right? And we just have different ways about, you know, getting to the same goals.
Ken Porter, now how does that, you know, about the Mikvah Challenge and what a great job you really do with civics and so forth, civic involvement. How do we lead into the military?
Yeah, so, you know, we, you know, as I mentioned, we try and help students, you know, figure out what their next step is. So that may be college for a lot of them, but a lot of students it's not. So, you know, I try and talk to a lot of students one-on-one with that. But it's very much a very personal decision, and I always try and tell them about you know, my personal experience and some of the things that I faced, you know, particularly me coming straight into the reserve, there's just not a lot of support for reservists as they join the military, you know, after they get in. You know, when you join into active duty, you have, you know, folks, you know, staff people who are, you know, taking care of a lot of stuff for you, but when you join straight into the reserve, you're just kind of thrown into the fire. You show up at, you know, some reserve center and everybody's talking in code that you don't understand. And if you don't get up to speed real fast, then your career is going to suffer.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I know that, you know, my first couple years in the reserve, you know, my evaluations weren't mm-hmm. exactly stellar because I wasn't doing a whole lot. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to navigate all the different systems. And, you know, you see it time and time again where you have people joining the military. And unfortunately, we're not in a time of expansion for the military. So mm-hmm. you see people mm-hmm. that are, you know, kind of, you know, coming in with high hopes for serving their country, but then kind of getting chewed up by the machine and spit out pretty quickly, unfortunately.
Yeah, they may not want to build a wall.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
In Mexico.
That's another thing I always try and tell students that, you know, this seems glamorous right now, but, you know, yeah. chances are, and especially if you're thinking about making this a career thing, you know, there's going to be, in that career time, there's going to be a commander in chief that may not jive with your particular politics, right? And, you know, are you going to be okay with that?
You've been across Southeast Asia.
Yeah, you're right. So I first was mobilized to Sasebo, Japan, but then also mobilizations to Manila, Philippines, in Singapore, been to Malaysia as well. But yeah, pretty much all over Southeast Asia.
See if we can.